This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. Halacha is that a Kli Cheres is not subject to Tumah unless it has a base kibul as a receptacle. It's able to hold stuff, and it has to have been designed for that purpose. If there happens to be some kind of pocket in the Kli Cheres where you could, in theory, you know, put stuff there, could hold things there, but it's not its function, it wasn't made for that purpose, then the Kli will not be subject to Tumah. And so the Mishnah teaches HaTaharun Sheba Kli Cheres. The following are examples of Tahar Kli Cheres, earthenware utensils that are not subject to Tumah. First example is Tavla She'in LaLizbeis, a flat tray with no rim around it. Or Machta Prutza, a flat coal shovel. Again, it's not raised up around the sides, it's just totally flat. V'yabuv Shaklain, or a flat toaster's pan. So it's a completely flat pan with holes in it, and you put beans or grains on top and over a fire to roast them. None of these earthenware kelim are subject to tumah, as none of them have a base kibul. There's no toch, there's no interior, it's not a container at all. It's just a flat thing. So no tumah in any of these cases. The Mishnah continues another example of a type of earthenware vessel which is not subject to tumah, is visilonos, pipes. We're not subject to tumah. Afal pi kifufin, even if they're bent in the middle, afal pi mekablin, even though if they're bent, that means they're able to contain liquid in the bend. Nevertheless, it's not subject to tumah because the pipe is not designed to contain liquid in that bend. The pipe is designed to move water from one end to the other. Therefore, even though, you know, physically you could argue there's a base kibul here, but since it was not designed, the function of the keli is not to actually contain the liquid there. And therefore, this type of earthenware vessel is not subject to tumah either. And next we have the chavkov she'asol l'sal hapas, a certain cover called the chavkov that one covers a bread basket with. But the shape of it is such that if you flip it upside down, you can put stuff in there. It's a base kibul, can contain things. U'tefi she'skinu l'anavim, or similarly, a tefi, which is a kind of container that's meant to hold oil, you pour oil from there, but it was converted into a cover of a basket of grapes, meaning now it's no longer used to hold oil. The person flips it upside down and uses it to cover his basket of grapes, meaning some kind of physical modification was made in the kli to convert it for that purpose. Although it's still, you know, theoretically able to contain things, yet the halacha is, in none of these cases will the kli be subject to tumah, because again, the mere fact that physically there's a base kibul, it could contain things, does not meet the requirement. The requirement is that the kli is actually meant to contain things, even if you once it contained things, but if switch the purpose, and now it's just used as a cover, the halacha is it's not subject to tumah. And some more examples, the Mishnah says, v'chavis shel shayotin, a sealed, empty barrel used as a flotation device for swimmers to learn how to swim. This does not meet the requirement of a base kibul of a toch either. Since the barrel is sealed shut, it's not meant to, you know, keep things in, take those things out of. The air is, you know, sealed in there forever, and thus this is not considered a halachic base kibul. Halachic base kibul, it means that the person fills it up, empties it as needed. That's not the case here, therefore this is not subject to tumah. And also v'chavis tefuna b'shulei hamachatz, a barrel-shaped indentation that's found within a much larger utensil called a machatz, which is used to transfer a wine during the wine pressing process. Now this indentation was used to lift this very heavy utensil. Therefore the Mishnah says the kli would not be mekabel tumah if you put some tumah source in the indentation part. That would not make the kli tameh. For although, you know, physically, again, you have a toch, it could, in theory, hold things. So if you turn it upside down, you could put things in the indentation. It looks like a mini barrel there. But no. Since, once again, its function is not for that purpose, it's not meant to contain things. It's just the handle of the larger kli. And therefore, it's not considered a toch. It's not a halachic based kibul. And therefore, the kli is not mekabel tumah from there. And some more examples, we have v'hamita, an earthenware bed, v'akise, or chair, a safsal bench, val shulchan, or table. Even though all of these pieces of furniture are meant to hold things or people, they are not subject to tumah because they're flat. There's no toch. And the Mishnah's point here is to allude to the fact that earthenware is not subject to the tumah called tumas midras, the concept we saw in Perek Aleph, how certain people, if they lie or sit on things, just put their weight on it, if they don't touch it, makes that thing tameh. No such law applies to klecheres. Rather, klecheres have an absolute requirement of a toch. There has to be a physical base kibble, something with some kind of your walls, an actual physical container. If it's meant to contain things, then it could be mekabel tumah. If you don't have that, then any of these earthenware pieces of furniture, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. In the next case, vasfina, a boat made of earthenware cannot become tameh, even though it certainly has a toch. It's made of walls, and it is meant, of course, to hold things, cargo, people. Yet it is not subject to tumah, as we darshan in the Gemara Shabbos from the pasuk in Mishle of Derech Aniyah Velev Yom. The pasuk there teaches a halachic comparison between Aniyah, boat, and the yam, and the sea, that just as the sea cannot ever become tameh, sea is a mikvah, possibly become tameh, so too a boat is excluded from tumah, can't become tameh. And next, v'hamenorah shalcheres, an earthenware stand that functions as a base for oil lamps, were common at the time of the Mishnah. Such an earthenware base cannot become tameh because it was a flat base. There's no toch there. And the Mishnah's point is that even though the base is constantly used by the menorah, by the actual oil lamp, this doesn't somehow give the base the status of a toch. In the final analysis, there's no physical receptacle there, and therefore this is not subject to tumah either. As the Mishnah sums up, Hareilu Tahorim, all of the above examples of earthenware items are not subject to tumah. The Mishnah's concluding statement pertains to the case of Mashkin Tmeim, liquids that became tameh. On the biblical level, it's impossible for a tameh liquid, let's say some liquid that touched a dead sheretz, for that liquid to then make a utensil tameh, because on the biblical level, liquids that became tameh are by definition always tameh only on the level of Rishon L'tumah. Rishon L'tumah cannot make a utensil tameh. However, the Rabbanan decreed that practically we have to treat tameh liquids like an avatumah in the sense that it could make utensils tameh. The Rabbanan were concerned that people might confuse a liquid that became tameh with certain bodily fluids from tameh people that actually are avos hatumah. They could make utensils tameh. However, the Rabbanan put a limitation on their decree, and they said that if you have a liquid that became tameh, if that touches the outside of a utensil, only the outside of that utensil becomes tameh. The inside of the utensil remains tahar. For the Rabbanan wanted to put sort of a stamp on their halacha, a signature to show this is a rabbinic law, which is important because if something that was merely rabbinically tameh touched some truma or kachim, halacha is we don't burn the truma and the kachim. We only do that if that became biblically tameh. So the Rabbanan did not want us to make a mistake and burn some truma, which only became rabbinically tameh. Therefore, they put their signature, if you will, on the tuma to demonstrate it's only rabbinic. They said if the tameh liquid only touches the outside of the utensil, then only the outside is tameh. And this actually applies even to earthenware utensils. Normally, we think of, can only become tameh from the inside. But here we have an exception, that if a tameh liquid touches the outside of a kli cheres, then yes, the outside of that kli cheres becomes tameh. But the Mishnah here clarifies that this would only be relevant to an earthenware utensil that has a toch, that has an interior. It's a container of some sort. As the Mishnah says, Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule, Kol She'in Lo Toch B'Kli Cheres, if an earthenware utensil doesn't have any toch, there's no receptacle, it's not a container at all, Ein Lo Acharayim, then it's impossible for a tumah to infect the surface of the utensil. If it's some flat earthenware utensil, then that simply cannot become tameh. That is, even if a tameh liquid came into contact with it, the aforementioned rabbinic decree that makes an exception for tummy liquids, it gives the tummy liquids a certain extra stringent standard, does not apply to flat earthenware utensils.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.